Thanks for listening. The following is an audio presentation from High Country Christian Church. For more information, please visit www.highcountrychristian.com.
Continue in our series today titled, Help Me, Holy Spirit. There it is. Help Me, Holy Spirit. How many of you could use more of the Holy Spirit's help in your life? Yeah? Amen. I know I certainly could. In this series, I'm just going to do a couple of moments of quick review. In this series, we're going to look at the multitude of ways that the Holy Spirit desires and promises to help us as believers. Did you know there are a ton of ways that the Holy Spirit wants to help you? Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll lead you and guide you into all truth. He is the helper that God has sent from heaven. Jesus said, it's expedient or it's needful that I should go, for as I go, I will send the helper. Who is he talking about? The Holy Ghost, right? He said to the disciples, this was towards the end of his ministry, he was getting ready to go to Calvary, and he said to the disciples, it's better for me that I should go. It's better for me that I should die on the cross and raise from the dead and be ascended into heaven. It's better for me to leave. Why, Jesus? Why would it be better for you to leave? Because as soon as I leave, the Father can send the Holy Spirit, who is your helper. Now, I don't have time to re-preach what I preached last week, or else I would just do that, because it was good. But we talked about this whole idea of the Holy Ghost being our helper. He's the one that wants to help us. And the word in the Greek there is the word parakaleo, and it means to be called alongside. So, Mother, can I borrow you for a moment, please? Mom is, you're just going to be you, okay? You're just going to be you in this scenario, and I'm going to be the Holy Spirit. So let's imagine my mom she's going through her life. She's walking through the day in and day out. She goes to work every day. She comes home, fix dinner, do all those kinds of things. And go out and have fun on the weekends. I don't know. Okay. And then, yay. So here she is going through her normal life, and she comes upon a problem. She hits an issue that she doesn't know what to do about. How do I deal with this situation? Well, the Bible calls Jesus the helper, the parakaleo. What that means, para means alongside. And kaleo is the word which means called. There's an old English word called paraclete that comes from this Greek word. And it's the whole idea that the Holy Spirit comes alongside. And the word calls means he speaks, he calls to you. So now, imagine you're going through life and alongside you comes the Holy Spirit, who's interested in calling to you and telling you the things that you need to know. How many of you think that would be beneficial? Do you realize that he's already here? Do you realize that the moment you got saved, he came alongside you? He filled you with himself, and then he came right alongside you, and he said, you're not going to have to walk around this world alone. I'm going to walk with you, and I'm going to call out to you all the things that you need to know. Isn't that beautiful? Thank you. So that's what this word helper means when Jesus talks about it in John 16. We talked about that last week. We're not really going to talk about it again this week, but we're going to move forward, okay? So the Holy Spirit promises and he desires to help us. In studying this topic, we discover that the Holy Spirit's desire is to help and advise us in every single area of life. I want you to get that. Every single area of life. There is not one place in your life that God does not want to help you. There's not one element of your life, there's not one arena of your life that God doesn't want to help you in. He is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year in every area of your life. Amen? We posed the following question last week, which we'll seek to answer in this series, and this is the question that we asked. How does the Holy Spirit help us? So I spent some time last week talking to you that just saying, hey, this is what the Holy Spirit does. He helps us. He's the helper. Jesus called him the helper. So the natural question that arises is, well, how does he help us? if he's the helper, if he's the one that's called alongside of us, what does that look like? How does he help us in life? So we started by making 2 points last week. We said that he helps us. Number one, he reveals. He reveals Jesus to us. He reveals Jesus to us. Number two, we said he seals us. Do you remember that? We looked at that from 1 Corinthians. He seals us. The idea is a ring, a signet ring. Back in the ancient times, a king would take his ring that had his crest and his marking on it. And when he would send a letter, or when he would make a proclamation, when he would basically make any kind of rule, he would write it down on parchment. They would put it in an envelope. They would take hot wax and melt it. Y'all have seen this before, right? They would take hot wax and melt it onto the envelope, and he would take his ring and press his ring into the wax and leave an impression in the wax. And so everybody knew this came from the king. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit seals us, and the word seal is describing that process. The Holy Spirit is God's signet ring that's left a stamp on your life. Amen. The Holy Ghost came from heaven, and it was God saying, "This one belongs to me." So he reveals Jesus to us, and then after he's revealed Jesus to us, he seals us with his presence. Amen? Now, today we're going to continue. That's what we talked about last week, so you can go online and hear that message from last week if you missed it. Today we're going to continue by looking at two other ways that the Holy Spirit helps us, okay? Are you ready? Number one, he empowers us. Everybody say that, empowers. Say, he empowers me. Say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for empowering me. That's good news. You'll see what it means in a minute. Number one, he empowers us. Number two, he strengthens us. Strengthens us. Well, aren't those two the same thing? Not really. You'll see here in just a minute. He empowers us and he strengthens us. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 1. First thing I want to look at is how the Holy Spirit empowers us. You see, we have an issue in our lives. We have a problem in our lives. When we think of God's power, we recognize that God is powerful, right? How many of you figured out that God's pretty powerful? Yeah? Amen. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. God is pretty powerful. The problem that we have in our lives is we think of his power as belonging only to him and not really ever having any effect in my life. God's power to us many times is very impersonal. We think of God as being this God who's way off in the galaxies, all interested in the moon and the stars and keeping the planets in rotation. Do you realize God's power is available to you on a personal level? We have to think of God in personal terms. So let's look at this a little bit. Luke chapter 1. Verse 35. This is the story. We're dropped right in the middle of a story here of when Gabriel, the angel, went to the Virgin Mary prior to Jesus' birth. He's announcing Christ's birth. Here's what he says to her. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." So here's Gabriel. Can you imagine if you were Mary, by the way? Just a little late teenage Jewish girl hanging out at home. And all of a sudden, this heavenly being shows up in your hut. Or whatever they lived in back then. He shows up in your living room. Or your kitchen. Or maybe they're both the same. I don't know. He shows up in your space, and light from heaven shines. And here's this angel announcing to you that something powerful is going to happen to you, Mary. Guess what's going to happen? God's Spirit is going to come and overshadow you. And when he overshadows you, God's power is going to be released in your life. Look at that language one more time. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you." What does that tell you? That tells you that when the Holy Spirit, who you remember is our helper, when the Holy Spirit comes to help you, what's he bringing with him to help you? The power of God. Oh, glory to God. I don't know about you, but that makes me a little bit excited. When the Holy Ghost shows up in my life, he brings with him God's power to work on my behalf. Amen? See, here's the problem. We face all kinds of issues and trials and problems and things we don't think we have an answer for. But the reality is the answer is the Holy Ghost and the power of God in you. And on you, every time the Holy Spirit shows up, what does he bring with him? God's power. Let's look at it again. Let's look at it again. Acts chapter 1. The Holy Spirit supplies the power of God to the believer. He fills us, he rests on us, and when he does, God's power begins to work through us. Acts chapter 1. You say, well, that was good for Mary, but does that count for me? It sure does. Amen. Acts chapter 1. Glory to God. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus is speaking. You can tell because it's in red. Or at least it is in my Bible. I don't know if it is in yours or not. But verse 8, he says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, first in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and in the othermost parts of the earth. What is this? This is Jesus promising the church that when we receive his Spirit, guess what's coming with it? Power. Amen? Now, it's amazing because you have to understand context here. You want to remember the context that this was written in. Jesus has just raised up from the grave. He has spent 40 days with the disciples. He has just told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He's just empowered them to go and take this message to the whole world. But before he lets them go, if you look back a couple of verses, go to verse 5. He says, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. He commanded them, actually even go back even farther, go to verse 4. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me. What's the promise of the Father? The Holy Spirit. This series, who's it all about? The Holy Spirit, right? Who's our helper? The Holy Spirit. Jesus is telling them, guys, I've just risen from the dead. I've just spent the last 40 days with you. We've had a great time. You're really, you know, you guys are going to do a great job taking this message to the world. But here's the thing. Don't you dare do it until you get the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 4 again, one more time. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart Jerusalem but to wait for the promise of the Father. In other words, Jesus says, you're going to need this power. You're going to need this Holy Spirit, and you're going to need the power that comes with the Holy Spirit to go take my name to the nations. If you want to be effective in what you're going to do for me, if you want to be effective in the job that you're going to do for my kingdom, you're going to need the Holy Spirit to do it. Don't try to do ministry without the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is very important. Let's go back to verse 8 because that was the verse I had us read. I'll read it to you one more time. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I wish more Christians would understand the reality of this. We've been taught as a culture, I had lunch with a good pastor friend of mine this week, and we were talking about this very issue. We've been taught in religious society as a culture to reject the idea of the Holy Spirit. We've been taught to suppress the Holy Spirit. We've been taught to try to avoid at all costs the Holy Spirit. We're fine with Jesus. We're fine with the Father. We're fine with reading our Bible. But as soon as the Holy Ghost gets involved, we start getting a little bit uncomfortable. Anybody else been there besides me? As soon as the Holy Spirit starts to get involved, we start to get uncomfortable. You want to know why? Because the minute you invite the Holy Spirit is the minute you stop taking control of everything. The minute you invite the Holy Spirit into your life is the minute you have to let go a little bit. Amen. That's right. Let him do it. Right? So that's why we've been kind of trained as a religious culture to reject and suppress the Holy Spirit. We don't want to know about the Holy Ghost. Talk to me about Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But don't talk to me about the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said, if you're going to do what I've called you to do, you're going to need his help. Why am I teaching a series called Help Me, Holy Spirit? Because we need his help. He is the helper, and we need his help. So he says, when the Spirit of God has come, you're going to receive power. Now, I've preached this message many, many times. I've read this scripture for years and years and years. I've always enjoyed it. I've never looked at the word receive. I looked at it last night in the Greek, and I love what I found. You shall receive. Do y'all see that word receive? You shall receive power. Now, this word receive in the Greek, I want to teach you something here. This word receive is the word lambano in the Greek. Watch what it means. It means to lay a hold of any person or thing in order to use it. It also means to take what is one's own. I'll read it for you one more time. This word receive, it's lambano in the Greek. It means to lay hold of any person or thing in order to use it. It means to take what is your own. To take what is one's own. Let me give you a kind of a practical example of how this word works. Yesterday, I was doing some yard work. I've been doing yard work the past couple days because it's been sunny. And so yesterday, I was shoveling compost out of the bed of a truck into my yard, and I was making a big pile there. And here's what I did. Yesterday, I took my shovel to do yard work. I received my shovel to do yard work. I took it. I didn't call the manufacturer of the shovel to ask permission. Can I please use this shovel that's mine? Hello. I'll just let it settle on you for a second. Jesus said, when the Spirit of God has come upon you, you're going to receive power. This word receive literally is the same. It's the same kind of word that fits the example. Yesterday when I went to shovel, I took my shovel, I picked it up, and I started to use it. I didn't knock on the door and ask my wife, honey, can I please use the shovel that I found in the basement? I didn't call the manufacturer. Is it okay if I use this shovel? No, I had an understanding that this shovel was mine to use. And I could use it if I wanted to use it. The only thing that was going to prevent the shovel from doing the job it was created to do was me. Listen, that shovel could sit in my basement from now until Jesus comes back and never shovel a single pile of dirt. Or I can decide that I'm going to take what is mine and start using it. You see, we look at the Holy Ghost and we just take this passive attitude like, Lord, whatever you want, I'm going to go sit in the shade and drink iced tea until you decide to use me. I'm waiting on you, Holy Spirit. I'm waiting. God's like, what are you waiting? I'm waiting on you. The shovel's getting cobwebs on it. Pick it up and use it. Jesus said, you're going to receive power. You're going to have the opportunity to take hold of the power of the Holy Ghost and begin to use it in your life. Why doesn't God move in my life? Because you don't move in his. Because you don't want him. You're not interested in him having a role in your life. The Holy Spirit is the one who causes us to take a hold of God's mighty power. Now, I said this already to you. It's very important that to Jesus that the disciples not attempt to do any ministry until the Holy Spirit had come, until they were able to take hold of this power. Jesus said, stay here in Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere yet. As soon as the Holy Spirit comes, then you can go all around the world. He didn't want them to try to fulfill his commission without his corresponding power. There's power from the Holy Ghost to do ministry. I wrote this in my notes. Any ministry that denies the power of God is ministry that is produced by the flesh of man and is therefore limited and frail. You can have some success. You can have some success in ministry without God. You can have success in life. Doesn't even have to be in ministry. You can have a certain measure of success, but whatever success you build without God is built on your own flesh and in your own strength, and so it's frail. It's subject to fault. But ministry that's done, a life that is lived, a life that is built on the foundation of the Spirit of God, on the foundation of his word, empowered by his power, that is never going to fall. Amen. We had a conversation about this again. A good pastor friend of mine and I had lunch this week, spent 3 hours talking about this stuff. And we were asking this very question, can you do ministry without the power of the Holy Spirit? I said, you can, up to a certain point. I can give you a hug and say Jesus loves you, and that can bless you, and that's good ministry. I can't heal cancer in your body, but he can. And if I will take hold of his power and put it to work on the cancer in your body, that thing will get fixed. And I didn't have anything to do with that. All I did was be a channel. All I was a hose. Remember, here's God and all of his power. Here's all the needs of humanity. Here's us right in the middle. Here's the problem. I'm having fun preaching on this. Here's the problem. We are too busy taking hold of the world's issues and of our own problems. We're too busy being acquainted with our own failures and frailties and needs and issues. If we would ever turn just long enough to grab a hold of God's power, we'd actually have an answer for all this other stuff in our life. Amen? I'm not trying to be hard on you, but some of these things are kind of black and white, you know? So we just got to look at them and appreciate them for what they are. I don't want to try to do ministry without the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to try to live without the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So, number one, he empowers us. Number two, I got about 15 minutes left. Number two, he strengthens us. Let's look at a few scriptures that talk about how God strengthens us. The first one comes from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. This is powerful. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I still hear pages turning, so let me give you another second to get there. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It's one of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible, man. Finally, my brethren. Y'all remember when we taught all the way through the book of Ephesians last year, I remember getting to this. This is towards the end of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And he uses this word finally. And what he means when he uses this word finally is, listen, if you didn't get anything that I've said in the first 5 chapters, get this. This is what Paul's saying when he says finally. Finally, my brethren, if you didn't get anything else that I'm saying, get this. Here's my commandment to you, friends. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Let me suggest something to you that maybe you never thought of before. Christianity doesn't leave room for weak Christians. Amen. Christianity doesn't leave room for a bunch of weak baby diaper full of poo Christians. Hello. Listen, when you're a baby and you poop your pants, it's okay, all right? But after you've walked with the Lord for a little while, it's time to grow up. It's time to be strong. It's time to put on the whole armor of the Lord. It's time to make some decisions in your life. Draw a line in the sand. Say, this is who I am. This is who God's called me to be. This is what his word says. I believe it. I'm going to live by it. Paul says, be strong in the Lord. Does this mean that Jesus doesn't love you if you're feeling weak? No. But he does want to teach you. And guess what? He wants to help you. The Holy Spirit is our helper. So he says, be strong in the Lord. Psalm 28. Let's go back. I've got like five scriptures here for us to look at. So be quick with your fingers. Be nimble. Psalm 28. Like one preacher used to say, quick like a bunny. Quick like a bunny. Psalm 28, verse 7. We're looking at how God makes us strong. And listen, let me tell you, let me give you a hint real quick. If you're not feeling strong, write all these scriptures down, and next time you're feeling weak, go to them. Yeah, right. Can I give you just a piece of practical advice? If you wake up in the morning and you feel weak, go to these scriptures. Let the Holy Spirit use those scriptures to help you. Psalm chapter 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength. He is the saving refuge of his anointed people. Glory to God. He is my strength. Listen, I'm not looking to the world for some sense of strength. I'm not looking to Wall Street for some sense of strength. The kingdom that I'm a part of cannot be shaken, you understand? Listen, the world can go to hell in a handbasket, and I don't have to be affected by it, and you don't have to be affected by it. The stock market can be up, the stock market can crash. I mean, listen, I saw this thing on Facebook the other day. It made me laugh. There's this guy who's an entrepreneur, and he was talking all about this financial collapse that's coming. And here's what I realized. There's always some doomsdayers out there. Okay, there's always people that would love you to believe that tomorrow, Chicken Little, the earth is going to fall apart. Okay, this thing's going to spin out of orbit. We're all going to be vaporized in 8 hours. Okay, that's whatever. People are so nervous about tomorrow. Then you got people on the other end of the aisle that say, good, this is the greatest life could ever be. It's fantastic. I mean, this is the best economy, the best world we've ever lived in. It's amazing. I don't believe either of them. Or let me put it to you this way. I don't put my trust in either of them. Because you know what? My God doesn't change. Society changes. The world around us changes. Seasons come, seasons go. People come, people go. The world is like a roller coaster, up and down, up one day, down the next day. My God does not change. And this Bible does not change. And when I feel weak, he's still strong. And when I feel like I can't do it, he still says I can. And when the devil tells me that I'm not going to make it, the Bible tells me I've already made it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's read it one more time. The Lord is my strength and my shield. You need to wake up every morning and put that verse on your lips. The Lord is my strength and my shield. The Bible says he's the lifter of my head. I don't know about you, but some days I wake up like Charlie Brown. Dun, 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 dun. Do you ever see how Charlie Brown walks? You know, sometimes I feel like Charlie Brown. The Bible says in Isaiah, he is the lifter of my head. Holy Spirit, help to lift my head. Help to strengthen me today, Lord. Let's look at a couple more. These are going to bless you. Isaiah chapter 40. You doing okay? Everybody okay? Yeah? Isaiah chapter 40. A couple more scriptures here. I want to show this to you in the scripture. I don't just want to quote these things to you, because then maybe I just quote them, I don't tell you where they are. I want you to see it on the page so that tomorrow you can go back and find it again. Amen? Because the food that nourishes you today, you're going to need it again tomorrow. Amen? Not just good enough to see a scripture once in church. We got to live in it on Monday. Listen, I ate breakfast this morning. Did you? Everybody eat breakfast? Are you going to eat breakfast again tomorrow? How stupid would it be for me to be like, man, I had breakfast today. It was great. I don't need to eat again until next Sunday. No, the same food that nourished me today will nourish me again tomorrow when I eat it again. So that's why I don't just quote the scripture to you. I want you to see it on the page, man. Underline it, circle it, put a bookmark there so that tomorrow when you feel weak, you can go back to this same scripture and it'll strengthen you again. Amen? So Isaiah chapter 40, let's read verse 29 through 31. It says, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases their strength. Even young people, even the youth, shall faint and be weary. Those of us with kids have a hard time wrapping our mind around that one. Even the young people run out of energy at some point. And the young men shall utterly fall. Can I take just a minute and pause on that for a second? I feel like I need to. I was watching my kids last night. My daughter Abigail has so much energy. So much energy. It was 9 o'clock or 8:45 or something. We let them stay up a little late. And we're out sitting on the front porch because it was raining out at our house. And that's one of the most wonderful things that I love to do is sit on the porch and listen to the rain. Well, they couldn't sit still. So they were running out in the rain, dancing, and then coming back in. Back up to the porch. And they just kept doing this, getting wet and getting wet. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, these kids need to go to bed. It's getting late. How is it that they still have energy? They've had a full day. They were at a 6-hour dance rehearsal yesterday. How is it that they still have energy? I think Isaiah uses this as an example to help to show us what life looks like. There's seasons of our lives where you and I can do a lot on our own. There's seasons of our lives where we have a lot of strength and a lot of energy. I don't have to give my kids sugar in order for them to run around. They already have a bunch of energy pent up in them. Now, if I give them sugar, it just amplifies it even more, right? Everybody that's a parent knows what I'm talking about. They don't need any help to have strength. I think that's what Isaiah's point is here. When you're young, when you feel good, you don't have any need of anything. You already have all the energy in you. There are seasons of our lives where we can do a lot in our own strength. But he makes a point here. Even the young men get weary at some point. Even the ones who seem full of vitality get to a point where they run out of gas. But those, verse 31, but those who wait upon the Lord shall exchange strength with him. Oh my gosh, you got to get this. The word wait, do you know what the word wait is? It's not wait like time like we think of. The word wait in the Hebrew here is the word which describes a braided cord. Did you ever look at a rope that's braided three ways? This is what Isaiah is saying to us. Those who entwine themselves with God, those who will become intimate with the Lord to the point that they're braided and weaved together with him, shall renew their strength. The word renew in the Hebrew means to exchange. So the idea is that even young people run and they get weary. Even folks that seem to have a lot of energy, at some point they're going to run out of gas if they keep going. But those who wait and who entwine themselves with the Lord, those who enter into a relationship with God, will not grow weary because they're going to exchange strength with him so that when I get to the end of my strength, God's strength has yet to even begin. When I get to the end of my ability, when I come to the very end of me and I say, God, I've got nothing left, now is the time for his strength to begin to kick in. Look at it one more time. They who wait upon the Lord shall renew or exchange their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not get tired. They shall walk and not faint. What does the Holy Spirit do to those who love Jesus? He gives them strength. God wants to give you his strength. He wants to give you his power. We looked at that. He wants to give you his supernatural ability. But not just that. He wants to fortify and strengthen you on the inside. One more scripture as we close. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Wait just a moment as it gets put up on the screen. This is powerful. Paul's writing to the Ephesians and he says that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might. How? How, Paul? By his Spirit in your inner man. You need to know that the strength that you need comes from the inside. How do I get strong, Pastor? What do I do when I wake up and I don't feel like being strong? What do I do when I wake up and I don't feel like I just feel like the world is pitted against me and nothing is working the way that it's supposed to work? What do I do? You wait upon the Lord. You entwine yourself with God. You get intimate with the Lord. You go back to this word, and here's what happens. He begins to strengthen you with his might by his Spirit in your inner man. It starts in here. Don't expect it to happen up here. Don't expect to have all the dots connected in your head. Just go back to the word. Go back to those scriptures. Go back to Psalm 28 and Isaiah 40 and Ephesians 6. Go back to all those scriptures where he's already promised he would strengthen you, and let the Holy Spirit begin to take that word and strengthen you from the inside. Strengthen you in your heart. Strengthen you where it counts, man. Because listen, if your insides get rock solid, the world has to adjust. Your outsides have to change. Amen. Amen. The beauty of being a Christian means that we're governed from the inside out. I don't look around at my circumstances and my surroundings and make decisions based on that. I look at what the Word says, and I look at what God is saying and doing on the inside of my heart. And I make decisions based on that. Amen. I had a Bible school professor tell me, he said, Josh, your heart will never lie to you. Your heart will never lie to you, because that's where the Holy Spirit speaks. He's our helper. He wants to help us by empowering us. He wants to help us by strengthening us. And if you'll allow him to, if you'll take a hold of his power, if you'll take a hold of his word, he'll strengthen you with might by his Spirit right in here. And the stronger you get on the inside, the stronger you'll become on the outside. Amen. Amen. How many of you could testify, say that I know that's true. I know that's true. Amen. I wrote this, and I'll close with this. I have exactly 59 seconds left. I wrote this down. Probably the most notable way that I'm ever being strengthened by God's Spirit is when he is encouraging me through his word. What is the Holy Spirit going to do when you look to him for strength? He's going to bring you back to the word. He's going to bring you back to the word, and he's going to start speaking to you from it. Take those scriptures, meditate in them, You know what I mean when I say meditate in them? Chew through them. Read them, and then read them again, and then read them again, and then read them again. In fact, one of the things I like to do is take a verse, just one verse, not a passage, not a chapter, just one verse. Think about it all day. I got 8 cows that live in the pasture next door to my house. A lot of times I sit out there and watch them eat grass. They just sit there and chew and chew and chew and chew and chew. That's what a cow's job is, you know, is just to chew and chew and chew and chew. That's what our job is with the word. Take the word and just chew it and chew it and chew it. And you know what's going to happen? Your insides are getting stronger. Every time you take the word and you eat it and you chew it and you chew it and you chew it, the more you spend in the word, the stronger you're getting on the inside. The more formidable your spirit is. Amen? And then after a while, your outside starts to change. Your circumstance starts to shift. And you know what else happens? The devil takes notice. Because he learns that he can't push you around with outside circumstances anymore. He learns that the word is more valuable. Amen. Why don't you stand up to your feet? Next week, we're going to continue this series by discussing how the Holy Spirit helps us to see and know. To see and know. Did you get some?
We hope that this message inspired you and filled your heart with faith. If you would like to visit our church, check out www.highcountrychristian.com for service times and location information. Thanks again for listening to this audio presentation from High Country Christian Church, where Jesus loves you, we love you, and your life counts.